The Public Square.
All right, welcome back to The Public Square. And after ideas with Ayobe, and I hope you did enjoy the conversation with Awal Musa Rafsanjani, who's the head of Transparency International Nigeria Transition Monitoring Group, as well as CISLAC. Today's Public Square is dedicated to Nigeria's constitutional amendment process, which culminated this week in the National Assembly passing some landmark legislation and failing to pass others. There were 68 amendments before each chamber, that is the Senate and the House of Representatives, so we won't be able to go over all of them. That's a ton to go through. But with the support of the foremost constitutional lawyer, Clement Nwankwo, we will be reviewing what, in our opinion, are the more significant ones. Mr. Nwankwo is Executive Director of the Policy and Legal Advocacy Center. Great to have you join us, Clement Nwankwo.
Thank you.
Always a pleasure. Remember, you can weigh in on Twitter, social media at Public Square, and G at Rotimi Sankore, at Awogo or at Nigeria Info FM, on WhatsApp 0809597 5805. Again, 0809597 5805, where I'll take questions from you. And hopefully, if we can steal some time, I'm sure Clement Nwankwo will want to respond to some of your thoughts about the constitutional amendment process. At the top of the hour, Rotimi Sankore will join in, as usual, for the big picture. Once again, thank you very much for joining us, Clement Nwankwo.
Thank you, Aurora.
All right. So, here we go with how many of the amendments were passed and your thoughts on those which were passed by the National Assembly.
Sorry, I missed that question.
Can yes, excellent. The amendments which were passed by the National Assembly, the numbers that were passed, and your thoughts on them.
If this is related to the Electoral Act, or you refer to the Constitution?
The Constitutional Review, Clem.
Oh, yeah, on the Constitution, we noted, well, clauses, because there are several issues contained in some of the clauses as well, that 68 clauses,
right,
covering a wide range of issues, looking at the exclusive legislative list. There were proposals regarding, of course, the five proposals affecting participation of women in politics, the separation of office of President, Attorney General, and Minister of Justice,
right,
and several other issues that were identified in the Constitution Review process.
Right.
So a wide range of all of these issues came up. But again, as you know, it's a question. By both houses, when you look at this passed, and I'll try to pull up as we speak now,
right,
the list of issues that passed. But certainly, a lot of issues that involve the participation of women is one of the biggest issues on the front line of conversation at
Absolutely.
This time.
Absolutely, and it did get a lot of people talking. And even as we speak, there are protests that have happened and protests which have been planned in Lagos and Abuja next week over those bills which dealt with the Nigerian women. But Clement, help our listeners understand, for example, if the Senate passed an amendment and the House of Reps did not, or it happened vice versa, what happens to that amendment?
It requires that the both houses pass it. As you know, with the constitution vote, every clause has to pass by two-thirds
right,
of votes. And where it is not passed by the pairs of votes, then I think that there's a problem, that it can't go any further. Because everybody has to be noted to have voted, and the where they voted also noted. So once it passes in one house and doesn't pass in the order, it fails and doesn't proceed any further. But if it doesn't pass, if it passes in both houses, then it goes forward to being taken to the State House of Assembly. And I think that with respect to those that passed, we would see that going to the State House of Assembly. And if you look at the whole list, it covers a wide range, something as innocuous as the change of the name of local government. In the constitution, some local governments were spelled wrongly, so some of those amendments were proposed. There were amendments related to the judiciary, there were amendments related to local governments and tenure of local government officials.
Right.
And several other issues listed.
Right. And you know, all the amendments are significant, but some, like you pointed out, more significant than others. We've identified 15 for you to help us understand the implications. And I can imagine if you can help summarize in a minute or two what each one implies or means in your understanding. I think we can do that for the benefit of the millions of listeners who tune in. Let's begin with financial autonomy for local government, which was passed. What are your thoughts, Clement?
Well, I think that there is always a constant conversation around local governments, and a lot of people are worried about the way that local governments have been subjugated by state governors and their ability to use resources budgeted from the federation account and disbursed to local governments on a regular basis has been in question, with state governments sometimes seizing those bosses and disbursing the funds directly or instruction on how those funds should be used, or state governments in fact determine what projects these local governments can use the funds to do. So what the amendment is there is saying that the post from which the state government also jointly signs with the local governments should be abrogated. So the state's joint local government accounts, which provide for a special account into which money is coming to local governments are paid into by the federal government. This amendment is proposing that it should be abolished. And so local governments would have their own posts which they would be able to utilize. And I think that this is a very welcome development, of course. Although you would say the conversation is really, when all of this conversation around federal structure of Nigeria and devolution of powers have been had. A lot of suggestions are, look, states should decide whether to create local governments or not and manage local governments. The state, the federal government should stop distributing monies to local governments. So there's a whole lot of argument on the question of local governments in Nigeria. But what is clear is that the local government system in Nigeria is not working. It's not functioning. Absolutely. And there needs to be some changes to it.
There are some other issues.
I could just mention this quite quickly.
Please go ahead.
Provision of financial independence or autonomy for state assemblies and state judiciary. I'm hoping that this is something to be corrected, because in previous amendments, this had been provided for. So I think there is some kind of institutional memory loss in passing this all over again.
And interestingly, it's like probably you had a sneak preview into my notes, because that's exactly where I was headed to, the State House of Assembly. So you could expatiate some more if you wanted to on the State House of Assembly.
Basically, it's the same argument with local governments. State governors who operate with impunity, and there are quite a whole lot of them, if not all, have allowed refused to allow state legislatures to function with independence. A typical example you see is even in Edo State, where as we speak, the legislature there has been hanging in limbo with a minority electing a leadership, and there was several of those elected have been refused to be sworn in. So the levels of impunity you see against state legislative houses is incredible, and you can count on your one palm state assemblies that have some semblance of independence and financial autonomy. So when this issue came up in the last amendment process, it was decided that the financial independence of State House Assembly should be guaranteed, because that's what gives them their autonomy, and they can exercise their powers without threat of financial punishment from the state governors, and that was done. So repeating this perhaps underlines the fact that we haven't gotten there yet, and that the issue remains a problem.
Absolutely, and we keep our fingers crossed, and it'll be a great place to watch just exactly how the State House of Assembly will vote for the independence of state assemblies, judiciary, as well as with the clauses for local government. What about this one, Clement Nwankwo? This has to do with the a bill to compel persons to obey or comply with legislative summons. I remember once a certain president of the country had said that the way the National Assembly was summoning people, he described it as legislative recklessness. But it appears that this will compel people to appear before the Assembly, and they will have to do it. What are your thoughts?
Well, I think there has to be some process that enables the, you know, we are not operating a federal system of government. And, you know, I speak from two sides here, but with one voice, which is really to say that we worked very closely with the legislature. We see some of these issues, and we know that there is a huge challenge with accountability, and the National Assembly itself being constrained in exercising its oversight powers. And a lot of times you find that members of the executive disobey or fail to cooperate with the legislature in helping to carry out oversight. In a system of government that is parliamentarian, as you have perhaps in the UK, different from the US, which is where we got ours. In the UK, you would have prime minister's question time. You would have the prime minister is a member of parliament. Ministers are members of parliament. So they would sit in the houses. They would respond to questions. In the UK, I think it's every Thursday, there'll be prime minister's question time. And the prime minister is required to be in attendance. But in reality also, it's an accountable system of government where even if the prime minister is not required to be in attendance, he comes because questions are asked, and he knows that voters count and votes count. And if he doesn't respond to questions, when there are questions lingering in the minds of citizens, voters, there will be consequences if those questions are not answered. But in Nigeria, I can sympathize, I can understand with legislature the difficulty they have getting government officials to come and respond to questions. But again, when you have these questions, you have multiplicity of different committees of National Assembly summoning the same person. I think it was recently that the House of Representatives Committee, two or three of them, summoned a particular person. And in the Senate, about the same things happen. And you see ministers or heads of MDAs running between one committee room and the other in the National Assembly. This distracts them in being able to carry out their function. So there is a balance that's got to be found, and I don't know that that balance can be found by creating constitutional requirements for ministers to, or even the president to be summoned. I don't see a balance in terms of how these summons can happen. I don't see a balance in terms of how many times you can summon these people. So I think at the end of the day, there has to be a president who feels responsible to the legislature, who feels accountable to the legislature, and who is prepared to be able to respond to questions asked, to work out to the National Assembly a process that enables the National Assembly to fulfill this question time oversight activity without necessarily distracting or detracting appointees and ministers from carrying out their functions.
Absolutely. In case you just joined us on Public Square, we have Clement Nwankwo with us this afternoon, Executive Director at Policy and Legal Advocacy Center, what we know as PLAC. And we're looking at the Constitution Review process, which was the biggest story this week in the National Assembly, as both houses passed 47 out of 68, and we're looking at some of those bills and clauses passed. What about this one, Clement? Inauguration of members elect of the National and State Houses of Assembly, which was passed also too.
Well, I think that there is a constant question. How do you ensure, and I mentioned earlier the situation in Edo State, where the inauguration requires that the chief executive issue a proclamation. In at the federal level, the president is the one that issues that proclamation. And at the state level, it is the governor that issues that proclamation. So I think that it is, again, a question. How do you find out, or how do you ensure that the swearing in of a member who is elected is not hampered by the interventions of the president? And I have to find the specific language used with respect to this particular amendment proposal. But I think the concern is really that you shouldn't have a governor take his favored members to a location and swear them in and exclude others that are perhaps not members of his own political bent.
Which we've seen happen now and again. Before we go on the break, I want to squeeze in one more so that when we come back, we can quickly take a look at the rest of the others. There's a bill to exclude the period of intervening events in the computation of time for determining pre-election petitions and election petitions and appeals therefrom. This is an interesting one, Clement.
Yes, I again, it's a question, how quickly can you get election petitions sorted out? And if you look at what has happened with the Electoral Act, for instance, because you can't read the two separate from, both of them have to be read together.
Very true.
If you look at what has been done in the Electoral Act, and INEC just now issuing notice of date for
the general election.
General election. It tries to give sufficient time for pre-election matters to be concluded. And that's why you're going to be having elections happen in February, for instance. That's why you're going to have the primaries happen, I think, earlier than schedule. I think sometime by August, you would have had all the parties submit their list of candidates. There will be people going to court. But, you know, in a recent election, I think it was in the Federal Capital Territory local council elections.
Sorry, Clement, I'm going to kindly ask you to hold your thoughts there. We'll continue right from there, which is an interesting point, so we can go on this quick break. We come back and continue our discussion, sir.
Thank you.
All right. We're at 99.3 Nigeria Info. We'll be right back as we continue with the Public Square. Let's talk.
99.3 Nigeria Info, your number one station for talk. Let's talk.
Ladies and gentlemen,
this is the Public Square.
Welcome back, 99.3 Nigeria Info, back to the Public Square, where we're having discussions about the constitutional review amendment process, which was kick-started by the Ninth Assembly, hoping to go where eagles have not dared with the previous assemblies and trying to make an impact with the process. As you have heard, 47 out of 68 saw the light and went through. And Clement Nwankwo, who is Executive Director, Policy and Legal Advocacy Center, is having the discussion with us on a number of the fine points. You can join the conversation on WhatsApp. It's 0809-597-5805. Any questions, comments, and Clement Nwankwo can help address them before he goes. I know he's very busy schedule. Clement, thank you very much for staying with us.
Thank you so much.
Great. And I'm sure the millions of listeners in Lagos are enjoying your expert analysis. timeline for presentation of appropriation bill by the president and the governors passed. And I'm sure that a lot of people wanted that to happen, even though, interestingly, this administration has somehow been able to work the January-December schedule. They keep celebrating it now and every other time. But what are your thoughts on this one?
I think we've come around that circle, but again, it's not over. In the last several years, we've had situations where the budget for a year is not passed until, I think we had an occasion when it was not passed until July of the year. And what that meant was that you couldn't tell what was being implemented and how funds were being used. And you had the president give extensions. And if you look at the current constitution, it says it gives up to even June for this to happen. So right. What has happened is that there is clear indications that tries to give teeth to the Fiscal Responsibility Act. And under the Fiscal Responsibility Act, you have a situation that it requires that the president at the federal level and the governors at the state level submit their estimates of budget for the next year before the end of the third quarter, which means that by the end of September, the budget must be submitted. And it requires also that the National Assembly then passes the budget before the year of expenditure. So what this does really is to help to introduce fiscal discipline and management of resources. The problem you have, of course, is still the question of funding for the budget, disbursement of funds, and what we see, which brings a lot of corruption, is that budgets are not passed, they are delayed, and then towards the end of the year, because the budget implementation started late, there's so much money that hasn't been spent, and at that stage, there's a rush by ministries, departments, and agencies, and public sector to spend money is budgeted, and those monies are not spent in line with budgeted directives. So I think this would help a lot to deal with these particular challenge.
This interesting one, which was passed, I remember listening to, monitoring the House of Reps session, where you had Femi Gbajabiamila preside, and it was interesting to hear certain lawmakers when this bill was passed. This one having to do with the timeline for president and governors to submit names of ministerial nominees and commissioners. And someone was saying, amendment, also include portfolios. But unfortunately, they did not include portfolios, but it was still passed, Clement.
Yeah, I think, again, this is looking at the examples of democracies that have practiced our system of government for so long. If you do, I think one of the things that hiked a lot of Nigerians or riled a lot of Nigerians was to see the president not appoint a cabinet until nearly 6 months after he was first elected in 2015. I think that sets the tone for the challenges that the administration began to face. And when you come looking unprepared, then the consequences are usually very dire. And I think the country paid the price for that. And that's why constantly the question is, how do you get government to be up and running? If you watch the recent American elections, as soon as elections are won, they begin to make nominations. And the existing cabinet, actually, is able to oppose. If you notice in Nigeria, in the U.S., for instance, the cabinet never stops.
Very true.
The parliament never stops. The Congress never stops. Of course, they do have midterm elections and so on to fill selected vacancies. But it never stops. In Nigeria, you see an end. That's why you have 8th Assembly, 9th Assembly, and so on. At some date in June, the Ninth Assembly, June next year, the Ninth Assembly would come to an end, and then you would have to wait for the inauguration of the Tenth Assembly before the business of legislation continues. This is not the case in the U.S., for instance, where we took our constitution from. And the reason that everyone is saying that you have to make your nominations and get your government up and running is to avoid the very extreme situation that we experienced in 2015 when President Buhari was first elected and couldn't constitute the cabinet for nearly 6 months.
Right.
So that's what this aims to address.
Absolutely. And we hope that they will do something also too about the portfolios assigned to ministerial nominees.
With portfolios, of course, you would see in the U.S., the president makes a nominee, and he will tell you, this is my secretary for commerce, this is my secretary of state, and so on. Those nominations are made with portfolios attached. And here, what you see is that you send blanket names, or you send names to the legislature or the Senate for approval, the Senate approves, then you begin to designate people. And at that stage, it's a fait accompli. A president who is not open-minded then decides to put into place nominees for particular positions that in Nigerian parlance is described as juicier than others.
Very true.
And so that's why you see skewed appointments, people from particular parts of the country being given better positions than people from other parts of the country. And this breeds a lot of discontent in Nigeria. And that's what you are seeing. And that's why you see the level of discontent in society today.
Clement, to borrow your description of juicy, we are in the juicy parts of of my list of bills and clauses. This one is very controversial, but it's something that has been talked about every time there's an opportunity to discuss the problems with our system of government. It's a bill to establish the Office of Attorney General of the Federation and the state separate from the Office of the Minister of Justice or Commissioners for Justice of the State. Insulated from partisanship. I'm sure you know all about this one. Also passed.
It passed, and I think it wouldn't be the first time that this has come up for conversation. In the 8th Assembly, it was there. In the 7th Assembly, it was there. Most times, it has always passed at the National Assembly level. By the time it goes to the state, it is not able to muster sufficient votes from the states. As you know, the Constitution requires at least 24 states must vote by simple majority to approve recommendations coming from the National Assembly. So we'll have to wait on this list to when it is sent to the states and when it returns to see the number of states that voted approved for the proposals coming from the National Assembly. So it's still proposals, but the reason which you have rightly given or cited is that there's a sense in which it is felt that the Office of Attorney General needs to be depoliticized. The Minister of Justice is a minister, is appointed by the president and for political purposes. But the Attorney General is a very professional function. And the question is, how do you find an Attorney General that is not mad in politics and partisanship? And that's really what this is trying to deal with. But you must also know that there are several other laws that may need to be amended when if this constitution passes this, because let's say, for instance, you have a law that requires that the Attorney General approves prosecution, for instance, the Attorney General, Minister of Justice.
Right.
And you go to those laws, and I think you would say that, for instance, the EFCC, who then, if you split this, has responsibility for those functions. So you may need to go back to those laws to do consequential amendments in order to ensure that the functions are rightly designated as is intended.
If we thought the Ninth Assembly was adventurous in the way it was going about the constitutional amendment, when it got to diaspora voting, they said no, but with independent candidacy, they said yes. Clement.
Yes, I remember it would not be the first time that independent candidacy has passed as well. This would be the third time. And as you saw, there was a struggle there about what is the threshold that is required for someone to be nominated to become a candidate. And I think that it's a question again whether this will pass at the state level, because I don't think it's clearly understood how it will function. But yes, it sounds innovative and adventurous. On diaspora, and I did listen to a lot of the conversations within the National Assembly on how this can apply. And I think for a lot of people, it's a question of understanding who is diaspora. Someone who is heading out of Abuja or Kano or Lagos and heading across the continent through the Mediterranean, gets stuck in Sudan and settles there. Or someone leaves Nigeria, headed to Ghana, gets to Cotonou or Lomé and gets stuck there. They are diaspora. So diaspora is not so much, and I think that a lot of the conceptualization of it is of Nigerians who get up, go to live in America, go to live in the U.S., are well documented, some of them, some maybe not. Diaspora is widespread, and it's a question, how are you able to get Nigerians in diaspora, in Chad, in Niger, what mechanism are you going to have to get these numbers and population accredited for voting? So I think it didn't pass because there's still a lot of thinking and a lot of work that needs to be done to be able to capture this in a non-controversial manner. And I don't know how soon that work can be accomplished, but it's very complicated from what I see.
People have often talked about Chapter 2 of the Nigerian Constitution not being justiciable. And if you look at this one, free compulsory and basic education passed also too. What were they seeking to achieve with this one, Clement?
I think a lot of states, if we go back to even the 60s, a lot of the older politicians all speak with a lot of nostalgia about how the politician Obafemi Awolowo introduced free compulsory primary education, and a lot of the educated western part of the country cite this as a reason for the huge numbers of educated people in the region. So I think it's something that a lot of states are already practicing, and it's important that this is now made universal. If you remember, even President Olusegun Obasanjo, as a military head of state, introduced free compulsory primary education. So in a lot of ways, free education up to a certain level of government, of education, is so very vital. And I think one of the biggest problems of this country is of citizenship that have not attained a certain level of minimum of education. And that's why you see in the National Assembly, even conversations about talking about amending qualification to contest elections. And it's always a struggle because sometimes people say that why should anybody go to the National Assembly? Why should anybody want to be president if they don't have a tertiary education? And as you can see, even at the highest levels of government, that's been a struggle, being sure that politicians have a certain level of minimum of education that enables them to understand what to do when they get into office. So I think this is very welcome, but I don't even think that at our stage of development that we require constitutional amendments to do this. It should come naturally to us that education, given the levels of education in this country, given that Nigeria has one of the highest levels of out-of-school children, that it should be a conversation or debate about whether this should be compulsory or not. It doesn't require a constitution. It requires that governments understand that this is a primary responsibility that they should implement.
Right. Well, and also very true. I guess it's the same argument also, too, that the tents for food security, which was also passed by the lawmakers.
Yeah. Again, the challenge sometimes with passing what you have described as non-justiciable sections of the Constitution, as identified in section in Chapter 2 of the Constitution, is enforceability and understanding the thresholds of what needs to be met to ensure that you satisfy legal requirements. And I don't see that Some of these thresholds have been underscored by some of the amendments that are proposed. But certainly, whether it is food security or indeed ensuring that your citizens are fed is a primary responsibility of government, and it's a question how do governments deal with it. As you and I speak now, you know that the biggest problem this country is faced with is that farmers are not farming. The levels of insecurity across the country, government in a lot of cases is doing nothing to protect Nigerians from marauding killer headsmen who have infiltrated all over the country. So perhaps even a constitutional amendment should be to bring to account persons elected into office who are unable to bring some of these killer marauding kidnappers all around the country, failing to bring them to account, failing to provide security. You and I know that farming is key to Nigeria's development and self-sufficiency. And if people are not able to farm, even as a vocation, even as a as fun, then quite frankly, the government has failed. And I don't know whether a constitutional amendment is even needed for this. It should, of course, be that persons who have responsibility for providing for security, there should be some mechanism for holding them to account where they fail to live up to this responsibility.
Talking about a master in the work he does, which is what Clement Nwankwo has done with the review of some of the past clauses and bills in the Constitution. But there's one I would like to have you weigh in, which is with the women and the laws which were supposed to increase women participation, especially in politics. What are your thoughts? That will be your final question, Clement Nwankwo.
I feel really sad because we worked together with a lot of state parliamentarians and several civil society organizations, including women's groups, to try to find some threshold legal amendment to the Constitution that enables us. You have 469 members of the National Assembly. Only 26 of these are women. I mean, as a country, it's shameful to have this kind of conversation with other countries around the world. And I have made the point very clear, it's exceedingly very disappointing to see that the National Assembly failed to understand that there was a need to act to take away the shame from Nigeria. And quite frankly, I think members of the National Assembly should feel embarrassed that they failed to understand the amendments that were being proposed and turned it down. For me, quite frankly, and for a lot of Nigerians watching the Ninth Assembly in this constitutional review effort, most of what has been passed, I mean, this was going to be the signature amendment to the constitutional amendment. They have failed, and a lot of people, quite frankly, have told me that they have no further interest in any of these other provisions that have been amended, or which might, of course, be an overstatement or overreaction. But quite frankly, a lot of Nigerians, and it's not just the women, a lot of Nigerians should feel really, really shocked and embarrassed that the National Assembly fails to act in the proper manner. It's unacceptable. And my hope is the National Assembly will revisit this issue. You cannot have a situation where a significant proportion, 50% of your population, are excluded from participation, and you are comfortable about it at the National Assembly. It's quite embarrassing and very sad.
Quite embarrassing and very sad. Before I let you go, it's almost difficult to let Clement Nwankwo go, but would have to. You've said over and over again about the fact that many of these clauses were amended by previous assemblies. You think the state assemblies will change the way they have behaved in the past?
Well, what I've said is that particularly the one on independence, financial autonomy for state legislatures and for the judiciary has been passed. It's a constitutional amendment, so it's a bit of a puzzle to me that it has recurred. But if you recall, the 7th Assembly had passed financial autonomy for state legislatures. And when it came to vote and was sent around the state, it was the 6th Assembly.
Right.
When it was sent to the state assemblies voted it down. They didn't pass it. So my hope is that there is understanding in the State House Assembly about some of these, and indeed all of these proposals, that there is sufficient explanation to them about the importance of some of the bills that have been passed, and that they would vote in the national interest to ensure that these bills pass. I have personal views on some of the bills, but I'm sure that there are quite a lot that should pass, and the State Assembly should support it to pass.
All right, we're going to leave it at that. Thank you very much, Clement Nwankwo, Executive Director of Policy and Legal Advocacy Center. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you very much, Aguero.
Brilliant. And we'll keep touching bases with you because you're such an important voice for us to have as we continue.
Thank you for the privilege of speaking on this program. This is such an important program for Nigeria. And
absolutely.
I think that we all value the education that you share with us.
Absolutely. Thank you very much. And have a great weekend.
You too. Thank you. Bye.
All right. All right, we go on a quick break. When we come back, it'll be time for Ruth B. Sankore to come in and, as usual, the big picture and look at all of the issues here and there. Please stay with us on 99.3 Nigeria Info.
You are listening to your number one station for talk.
Your number one station for talk.
99.3 Nigeria Info. Let's talk. To your number one station for talk anytime and anywhere. Just search Nigeria Info FM on the Apple App Store and on Google Play Store and never leave home without us again. 99.3 Nigeria Info. Let's talk.
Information at its peak. This is 99.3 Nigeria Info. I'm listening.
Headline news on 99.3 Nigeria Info.
President Muhammadu Buhari says he will continue to defend the interest of Nigerians wherever they may be. President Buhari is back in the country after attending the United Nations Environmental Programme at 50 in Nairobi, Kenya. Spokesman of the House of Representatives Benjamin Kalu wants Nigerian women to continue to push for inclusiveness in governance. Independent marketers say the lingering nationwide petrol scarcity can be prevented if the federal government makes a sustainable plan for the petroleum sector. Meanwhile, Nigerians are still groaning over the petroleum scarcity, saying they are forced to buy petrol above the official pump price from some petrol stations. And the Lagos State government has announced a six-month diversion plan of vehicular movement on Eko Bridge. The Lagos State Government also, through the Office of Public-Private Partnership and the Ministry of Health, has concluded plans to build a medical park. And on the foreign scene, Russian forces have seized the largest nuclear plant in Europe. And in sports, Super Eagles technical advisor Augustine Eguavoen has called up 32 players for the FIFA World Cup Qatar 2022 playoff round against the Black Stars of Ghana. That's headline news on 99.3 Nigeria Info. We'll continue with Public Square.
This is an infomercial.
All right. Velvet Sandpaper here. And as usual, I've got great news for you. And this time it's something very important. It goes without saying, vaccines saves millions of lives each year. The development of safe and effective COVID-19 vaccines are a crucial step in helping us getting back to doing more of the things that we enjoy with the people we love. It is important to be vaccinated as soon as it's your turn, even if you already had COVID-19. Getting vaccinated is a safer way for you to develop immunity from COVID-19 than getting infected. To register for COVID-19 vaccination, log on to nphcda.vaccination.gov.ng. That is nphcda.vaccination.gov.ng. Remember, vaccines save lives. Do you you know that through artificial intelligence, it is possible to overcome financial challenges now? Using your phone, the money in your account can generate between 30% to 36% profit return every single month without you doing nothing but a robot working for you. To learn more about this and get started, there will be a Zoom seminar this Saturday on the 5th day of March by 9 a.m. and on Sunday by 6 p.m. Or rather, on Sunday, the 6th day of March by 5 p.m. WhatsApp this line, 0815 147 1646. I'll take that again, 0815 147 1646. To register for any of the seminar days and receive the link and join the Zoom seminar. Registration for the seminar is free.
An infomercial show.
Let me tell you about Public Square. There are several lines that meet other edges.
Youth of this country who are already in a disillusioned, disenchanted state will be encouraged.
Where we talk about the fine margins. Sometimes it's black, white, and blurry.
It's also informed by the need to save costs and reduce legislative time.
Then there are the actors right at the center, coming through political processes, which could be dramatic.
To be a state of dismal if Parliament does not raise this money.
And controversial.
If driving through the roads is engaging the macabre dance. Compatibility is that of government.
And there's you to help connect the dots from the top to the bottom. Join Rotimi Sankore and Arogo Obo at the Public Square every Friday from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. 99.3 Nigeria Info.
Ladies and gentlemen,
this is the Public Square.
Well, welcome back. 99.3 Nigeria Info, the Public Square. It's on your number one talk news and sports station. I am Arogo Obo together with Rotimi Sankore. We've gone halfway through the show, but it looks like we've already gone the entire nine yard. And Rotimi, fantastic discussions we've been having. But by the way, you remember you can always continue the discussions with us. I've been seeing the messages on WhatsApp, 0809-597-5805, and then also too on social media. That's on Twitter, on Facebook, on Instagram, at Nigeria Info FM, at Public Square NG, at Rotimi Sankore, at Awogo Obo. Any of these handles, you'll be on to us. The Constitutional Review is where we are at, and we've had Clement Nwankwo from PLAC talk with us in the last hour, and Rotimi, we'll look at the big picture and a number of talking points where his quick comments, of course, are most welcome. Rotimi, great and good evening.
Yeah, thanks, Ahoho.
Right.
I mean, it's been a really monumental week.
Absolutely.
You know, we were initially thinking of explaining all the historical reasons and consequences for us in Africa on this Putin invasion of Ukraine. And then suddenly we realized that the National Assembly was going to do all this in 48 hours. I mean, we knew they would start this week. We are not sure of their capacity to finish this week. So it's a significant week for Nigeria. I mean, set aside for a moment that the process itself was not ideal. Remember when the Office of the Deputy Senate President put out the notices for the constitutional amendment last year and just said, Southwest will happen here, Northeast will happen there, Northwest, and they didn't say where it was going to happen. And people were like, What exactly does this mean? That they put out a notice the following day stating venues, but without complete information of time and who will be speaking, the criteria for speaking. Because in many instances, look, many Nigerians would have had to leave where their states are to go to the one venue in the one state, and then crowd outside and be waiting while governors and commissioners take up the entire day. In fact, as we saw, even in Lagos here, if you remember,
right,
Some people could not even get into the venue.
Oh, it was
because
there.
The venue, yeah. The venue was very small and limited.
Right.
So the VIP with escorts arrived, forced their way in, and it was only when all of them were seated that they say, okay, we allow some media, we allow some vocal civil society. And before you could say Jack Robinson, the hall was full, and they said you should wait outside. So in reality, a lot of, significant input was not made. I mean, you can't rush these things. You can't do it in a day or two
right.
in one venue for each geopolitical zone.
No.
So I mean, we need to remind that in that sense, the process was flawed. So job not done. Mm. Be that as it may, they came out with some amendments eventually, which were then presented and some important ones approved, some very important ones rejected. Mm. So having said that, we can...
Absolutely. And we did try with Clement Nwankwo and just between Ruthby and I to think about how 48 amendments was going to be a lot to go through, but we could see even having to even go from the 15. It was also touch and go still, but I mean, we could build topic and discussions on each one for the next 1 year, can imagine.
Yeah, so obvious. I mean, there are some of them, there are 9 of them
yes.
that have to do with changing the name of local governments.
Yes.
You know, and when you look at some of the name changes of local government, you just think, really, this is one alphabet or two there, and what impact does it have on the standard of living of the people in the local government? So, I mean, those ones obviously are of less importance.
Yes.
But, I mean, let's go on the ones we think are important. I mean, yes. Clement has dealt with a bigger list. Very I will true. Deal with a smaller list.
Right, exactly. And just like Clement pointed out, very importantly, which is of great concern to every single Nigerian, is the local government, financial autonomy passed.
Yes, Aho. In fact, I will take the first two together.
Exactly. Administrative authority also yes. for local government.
And the financial autonomy and administrative autonomy for local government. Right. Now, the action don't start. This is where a lot of the governance happens. A lot of the suffering you are seeing in Nigeria is because of lack of administrative and financial autonomy for local government.
Uh-huh.
Now, let me say quickly that there is still one third leg of it to be done, which is that INEC should conduct the local government election.
Mm.
That's really crucial because this scenario in which state governors appoint the state electoral umpire and the state, the government in power in the state wins 99.5%. I mean, that's just complete nonsense. So one more step to take, and that's why I said that the process of the consultation for the amendment was rushed, because this is an obvious error. This is an obvious omission from it. I mean, this amendment should have lasted, the process should have lasted 6 months to a year. Mm. At the very minimum, should have been done state by state. And then at the end of it, subjected to referendum. So that we are not held hostage by some dozens of people in National Assembly earning millions of naira a month that are not concerned about the standard of living of ordinary people. Now, as we've always said, local government is crucial. And let me explain
right.
by using other countries. In developed countries, local government does birth registration.
Mm.
They use the data from the birth registration to calibrate key indicators. So, for instance, all the inoculations, vaccination for the children,
right.
if a local government has, for instance, 1,000 children born this month,
right.
there is an office in that local government that will compute the month that all those children should take their vaccination for the next 10 years.
Right.
And they will contact the parents of the children
right.
from the third month to say it is time to do this, it's time to do this. The same thing for primary school.
Right.
They compute when all those children
right.
should start kindergarten, primary, secondary.
Right. And it's a fantastic point you make, Ruth. You know, yesterday the UNICEF head was here and he was talking exactly about that, that if you have the BET registration, then you can begin to budget for every single individual
yes.
very easily. But
yes.
if you don't fix that, then they're yeah. just planning in the dark.
Yeah. Mm. So, I mean, the local government will be able to say, okay, so those 1,000 children born this month,
right.
this is when they start kindergarten, this is when they start primary.
Mm.
Now, if the birth rate, if the numbers for that month exceed or say cumulatively for 1 year
right.
exceed the one for the follow for the year before,
mm.
then they know they need more kindergarten places and more primary school places
mm.
based on the councils in which the children were born.
Mm.
So they start training the teachers in advance. Those kids won't start kindergarten for another 2 or 3 years old. They won't start primary for another 4 or 5 years.
Mm.
But they've already calculated that, there are only 500 children in primary now, but 1,000 have been born
mm.
at this period. So we need 500 more places with the teachers, the classroom, and the equipment proportional to the councils where the children are born.
Mm.
So mm. if the teachers don't exist, the teacher training commences immediately.
Right.
They do housing, they do library,
mm.
they do community center, they even liaise with the equivalent of NEPA and the water corporation.
Mm.
The local governments tell the equivalent of NEPA and say, look, this is what we have now. We now have 10,000 people in residential, mm. in council A, B, C, D, E, and in council E, F, G, it is mainly business. So the hours where they need power will be this to this,
mm-hmm.
and in those business premises, this one is industrial, this one is administrative, and so forth. So they know the kind of transformer that they are bringing for the load to those places. They say, we now have 10,000 residents in this local government,
mm.
so the kind of waste management facilities we need are X. The kind of water treatment that we need in what proportion for drinking, for washing, and so on. I mean, mostly it's the same standard, but you know, the liters are calculated differently. The liter for drinking is different, the amount of liter for cooking, the amount of liter for washing, all different. You compute it, you work with the water corporation.
Mm.
If you need, you know, a bigger water treatment plant, right. then it is done.
Mm.
So
mm.
all these things, and we are not yet talking of road, though,
Mm, mm.
So you can see the role of local government, libraries for people to go and read in the community. So this kind of tragedy of the young lady who had that went to read in some, you know, church somewhere
right.
in the night alone,
mm, mm.
and some people had access to the church and went and sexually assaulted and murdered her.
Mm.
All those kind of things, you know, it starts to reduce because there is safe space. Kids can go and read in the library,
right?
And the educational standard improves. So these two are really important.
Right.
The two fights that need to make it actualize it is
right.
one, the taking over of the local government elections by INEC, and
right.
then two, a fight against the state governors who are
right.
going to resist this,
right.
because so- you know this is going to. This has to pass into a third of the states.
Right.
And the state governors, many of them have the House of Assembly members that are going to approve this in their back pocket.
Right. Very true.
So that fight has to be fought at the state level to ensure that the villainous influence of mm. governors on the House of Assembly
mm.
to reject local government administration and financial autonomy, you know, does not happen,
right.
and that the amendments are approved by 2/3 of the states.
Right.
So, I mean, we'll follow the process,
right.
but I thought this is a really, really important one.
Right.
Really important.
And another important one, Rutman, of course, this will address the comment I see on WhatsApp from Jerome in Alagbole, which is about devolution of powers. This is to allow states to generate, transmit, and distribute electricity in areas covered by the national grid. Passed.
Yes, I mean, I will come to that in a second, but okay. I wanted to say that the third one for me is the one on financial independence for state houses of assembly and state judiciary.
Good.
Which will address this issue of the governors having the assembly and judiciary in their back pocket. So now, this local government financial and administrative autonomy amendment will go to the states. If majority of the governors oppose it, then it will fail. Then the governors will retain the local government power and resources without the responsibility of the local government. So it is important that the financial independence of the Houses of Assembly passes. Now, a lot of advocacy has to go on for the House of Assembly members to realize that it is in their interest to pass the amendment on the independence of the House of Assembly and then pass their two amendments for the independence of the local government.
Right.
A lot is resting on these three going together. You can see the nonsense that happens when governors buy cars for states, for judges in the states.
Mm.
It's nonsense. Mm. If the person is earning their income independently and is not, looking at the governor like Baba Loki to, you know, just to do basic things for the judiciary, why can't they buy their own cars?
Mm.
You can see governors of all parties, insulting the collective intelligence of the judiciary, buying them cars as gifts. Car. Just metal on four wheels.
Absolutely. And it's a great cause for concern. So I think we can now move into the devolution of powers for electricity.
State power,
generate, transmit, and distribute.
Honestly, before I say anything on this one, let me just say that if you are a Nigerian anywhere and you are listening to this discussion and on this amendment on the devolution of power to allow states generate and distribute electricity, which passed, note that there are some members of National Assembly that voted against it. Can you believe this? There are members of National Assembly with sawdust in their heads that voted against devolution of generation and distribution of electricity, knowing very well, I hope they know, that Nigeria is arguably the only federal country in the world where there is one national grid and the states are not able to generate or distribute on their own grid. It's insane. That is why we are supposed to be at 200,000 megawatts. The global sustainable development goal standard is 1,000 megawatts per 1 million people. So Lagos should be at a minimum of 20,000 megawatts. Instead, the whole country is on 5,000 megawatts. 195,000 megawatts short. Hence all this suffering. I have never seen it. Just look at what is happening this week. The Minister for Petroleum and his Minister of State don't seem to understand that more people depend on fuel for their generators than do on cars.
So you hear them say things, for example, that don't sell to people in in jerry cans, and I'm saying that's the entire economy.
Generator
economy.
You know, people will come in jerry can and they will act as if they are criminals. Meanwhile, the real criminality is happening in the government.
Oh dear.
I've never seen before. I mean, I was looking at the Minister of State for Petroleum one day saying that, that if the fuel subsidy is removed, it will only affect the rich people because they are the ones driving big cars. And that ordinary people, you don't really need it. I was like, when you say Olodo F9, 0 over 100.
Has he seen the latest?
The guy does not understand that poor people enter bus. He does not understand that the food that people eat, that transporting it depends on fuel.
Yeah.
He doesn't understand that generator for small businesses depends on fuel.
The barbers, the hairdressers, everybody's using, you know.
Look, there are crimes against humanity happening in this country at the governance level.
Mm.
So that some people voted against this is unthinkable. In any decent democracy, we will have the list of everybody that voted for and against on each amendment.
Mm.
The guys that voted against this devolution of power for states to generate and distribute should be removed immediately from the National Assembly by their constituents.
Mm.
Should be voted out immediately. These same characters will come out and start giving grinding machine to people and wheelbarrow.
I saw a comment here wrote me. I said I just have to read this on WhatsApp. It said, it's insane. People were bringing their generator to the fueling station in my area because of the stupid rule that don't sell in gallons directive. They lose their generator tanks.
Look, man, anyway, look. I mean, sometimes you have to take a conscious effort to calm down. Before your blood pressure goes through the roof. The whole thing is dissociated from reality. Meanwhile, you can't say anything to the Minister of Petroleum because he's the president.
Right. So, Rotimi, we're going to go on a break very soon, in fact, in about 20, 30 seconds. So when we come back, apologies to those of you who are saying we need more time and the ads and everything. We'll fix that very soon where we can talk and not have the ads on our neck the way they do. But please bear with us. But in the next 4-5 minutes, we'll be back to continue from where we stopped on Public Square. So please stay with us and let's talk.
Welcome back to your number one talk news and sports station. This is Nigeria Info. This is an infomercial.
Do you know that through artificial intelligence, it is possible to overcome financial challenges now? Using your phone, the money in your account can generate between 30% to 30% profit every single month without you doing anything but a robot working for you. To learn more about this and get started, there will be a Zoom seminar this Saturday on the 5th day of March by 9 a.m. and Sunday the 6th day of March by 5 p.m. WhatsApp this line 0815 1471 646. I'll take that again 0815 1471 646 to register for any of the seminar days and receive the link to join the Zoom seminar. Registration for the seminar is free.
That was an infomercial.
Ladies and gentlemen,
this is the Public Square.
Well, welcome back, and this will take you to the home run as we touch base on the Public Square 99.3 Nigeria Info, together with Rotimi Sankore and Mawo Obo. Remember on WhatsApp 08095975805. Again, 08095975805. On WhatsApp, on social media at Nigeria Info FM, at Public Square NG, at Mawo Obo, at Rotimi Sankore. Any of these handles, feel free to talk with us. We still have the square to open to you to call in. At some point very soon, we'll open the square. But there's still some more important points to make with Rotimi here. Rotimi, we have still some unfinished business.
Yes, I will try and take the remaining ones, as we say, so that we can open the square.
Right.
When Clement spoke very well on the amendment regarding the timeline for the president and governors to submit names of ministerial nominees and commissioners to avoid the kind of problem we had where the current Minister of Petroleum did not submit his own name for several months and the country was just floating in the dark.
Now, there is something Clement said which I wish to reemphasize, which is that the idea of submitting names without portfolio, it is one of the most nonsensical governance practices I have seen anywhere in the world. I mean, no wonder you have this level of incompetence. You don't know what people have been nominated for. I mean, it's like nominating me to be, I don't know, Minister of Nuclear Energy when I don't know about it. Then you just put my name there and then just confirm me later as Minister of Nuclear. When we have nuclear scientists.
And they ask you everything but nuclear when you get to the Senate, because they also are blind.
And in fact, if the person is lucky, you just bow and go. If you have been a former appointee or honorable, you just bow and go. So it's really important to underline that, you know, this administration must be the last we see that nonsense at federal or state level. We have to reduce all the areas through which incompetence filters into governance. The next one is, it's related to this, the idea of Minister of Justice and Attorney General. And we can see it playing out before us every day. When Attorney General and Minister of Justice was asked a question about the rights of an ethnic group in the country being violated or upheld, and the fellow said, well, you know, it's like if we start saying that spare parts dealers should not be in certain parts of the country. And then the same person asked the question, what is the comparison between spare parts dealer and the herders that raise villages to the ground? You know, this is really crucial. Why? Because the Attorney General, you know, is like for everybody. When they say the state versus, it means the Attorney General is championing on the behalf of the citizens of the country against, which means the Attorney General must uphold the law, not violate, not act in any way that undermines the fundamental rights provisions, Chapter 4 of the Constitution. But when you merge the two together, the Attorney General and the Minister of Justice, in fact, at some point, the role of Attorney General just disappears. The person is just the Minister of Justice. So, enough said on that. I mean, this must be done.
Must be done, absolutely. And still some more to go. There's one we have to look at, independent candidacy.
I mean, when you were joking with Clement and you were saying juicy, juicy cabinet position, this one is juicy amendments for all kinds of reasons.
Oh, my goodness.
But when we say juicy in quotes here, we mean for the best of the reasons. The constitution of many political parties means essentially that if any average person with competence wants to run for office, the kind of compromises you have to make, first of all, to be allowed to join the party, then suddenly to emerge as a candidate of the party. I mean, it is just too tedious, if not dirty, in many of the parties. And in, you know, most of the, you know, modern democracies in the world, the majority, independent candidates is the antidote to that. Now, it doesn't just mean that anybody can stand up and say, I want to run for president. You know, we discussed this matter before.
Very true.
That there has to be criteria. If you want to run a councillor, local government chair, state house of assembly, governor, national assembly of presidents, there has to be criteria. For instance, at the lowest level, they may say, if you want to run in your council as independent, get 500 voters to sign a letter of petition in your support saying you want to run. At the state level, they may say, get 500 signatures from each local government. At presidential level, they may say, get 3,000 signatures from each state. so that you can go on the ballot paper.
Mm.
And that is why in those countries, the formation of party is not an issue. You can form a party and call it All Night Party, submit, and it is registered. But to go on the ballot, voters have to nominate you to a certain percentage.
Hmm.
So, I mean, the debate will be on the criteria, hmm. but it is a very welcome development.
All right.
Yeah.
The ones
for education right. and food security.
Right.
I mean, really, I mean, they are important, but do you need constitutional amendments to guarantee food security? You know, I mean, I thought the president said 3 years ago that Nigeria was food secure.
Mm. Mm.
Now, if local governments are functioning, do you need a constitutional amendment for basic education, as we discussed earlier? Of course not. So, no need to talk too much on those ones. The one I really want to talk about, and I can see some funny people who are already sending messages on Twitter saying that that the women do not deserve any special treatment. Now, let me explain with just two simple examples. This question of forced child marriage, which we talk about a lot of the time,
right,
which is essentially slave capture. You know, I mean, you capture a girl at the age of 9, 10, 11, 12, and she becomes your sex slave, mm. your housemaid,
mm.
whatever you want to call her, and you can assault her every day for the rest of her life because you've claimed her as a wife, a minor, a child. Now, one of the political implications, I mean, we've talked a lot about the human rights violation, the health implication and things. One of the political implications is that across the country, but especially in states where it is 50% and mind you, this is not just northern states. First child marriage is 50% in Bayelsa, mm. with a lot of nice Christian gentlemen there, mm. but, you know, violating girls. So it's 1 in 2 in Bayelsa. If you go to some of the northeast and northwest states, mm. it's 63, 73, up to 83%.
Mm.
And that has happened too. When we say 83%, it means 83% of the women in the states were captured as children and subjected to sexual slavery, brainwashing, abuse. In short, they are hostages. Now, in that kind of state, you expect to find women in numbers that are able to come out and contest, or mm. women that will come out and vote for them, when the majority have been held hostage from childhood? I mean, what are people thinking
mm.
when they say that this is not necessary? There's a reason why it is called affirmative action. It is meant to correct something that has gone wrong. Now, if they cannot, and they are not able to, because patriarchy has shackled them, supported by the states, they are not able to contest for themselves, then the affirmative action is a transitional method to fix it, whereby if we then want to pass laws to abolish the said negative first child marriage, there will be women in the house to vote for it. If not, it is never going to happen and they will be shackled forever. So that is just one example.
Mm.
So if people don't understand it, they need to. One gentleman or ungentleman was talking with Ireti Bakari earlier today on Danfo Conversation, right. and said, God has gifted women with the responsibility of looking after children. What are they looking for?
Hmm.
Look, people need to understand underdevelopment. First of all, let me say, if you are a man and you have helped look after your children,
right.
you will know that it's not just carrying the child on your leg. The majority of child care work is washing plates, washing clothes, you know, cooking and so on and so forth like that. It's under development. In developed country, you don't have to slave. You throw the clothes into the washing machine and go out. When you come back, the clothes are dry. You put the plate in the dishwasher and go and read, and everything is done. This is life. like. You don't need to cook every day. If you like cooking, you cook on weekend. You put it in the freezer. Mm. There's 24-hour light.
Right.
When you are hungry, you put it in the microwave.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of what people are defining as gender role is slavery based on underdevelopment.
Mm.
So these people calling and saying that it is the God-given role of women to be slaving. The father that is the parent of the child, what is the person doing?
Absolutely.
So the affirmative action is supposed to fix, you know, the negative consequences of underdevelopment, and it is a transitional arrangement. At some point, it will come to an end when the equation has balanced. We don't have enough time. Look, in fact, we have to come back and do a whole program on this. But I just thought two examples should suffice so that people understand that when people's rights are being... Look, the National Assembly members that voted against this do not understand the fundamental rights provisions of the Constitution, which say... You cannot discriminate against people on the basis of gender or ethnicity. These same people will come out and say that their ethnicity, that the presidency should be zoned because what some people have been taking it, the presidency should now be zoned to them. Mm. In that sense, they understand injustice.
Mm.
They say the senatorial zone, the governorship should rotate. Mm. They understand injustice there.
Mm. Mm.
When it comes to gender, they don't. It is a God-given role to be slaving at home, looking after children, washing clothes, washing plates, cooking, polishing shoe, and all kinds of things like that.
Oh, dear.
Things that technology has solved in developed countries.
Mm. Mm. All right. So a brilliant way for us, Rotimi, to move into the square and open the square for the audience to come in now. The number to call is 0700-993-993-993. Again, 0700-993-993-993. And if you want to talk to us on WhatsApp, it's 0809-597-5805. That's only via message. The numbers to call for the women is 01465-7190. Again, 01465-7190. So let's get to the phone lines and hear you. Hello and good evening.
Good evening,
Robert. Great to have you join us, but we're going to need you to really speak up because you're low.
AB
from Songo. I don't know what you're doing, but I can't hear you very well. But go ahead very quickly.
AB from Songo, AB.
Right, AB. Good. So maintain that pitch and let's go.
Okay. I think I want to say that what Rotimi has spoken so far, it was very good.
Hmm.
The pitch is not high enough.
Yeah, he knows what he's saying. My take on this evening is that the governor, the emperor, they cannot allow the local government itself to... Hello?
Yeah, we can hear you, AB.
I said they cannot allow the local government to exist, especially the governor. So I think I want to suggest that the civil society group, we who are callers, Nigerians, should rise up to the occasion. So that we should not allow the local government. The local government is already dead and buried. But if we who will rise up, just like the way we rise up against President Buhari over the electoral bill, if we all rise up against the government is just only one man. We will rise up against them and rise up against the House of Assembly. Then we do the needful.
All right, thank you very much. AB wants us to address the state assemblies and the governors. Hello and good evening.
Hello, good evening. Good evening, Ahoho.
Great to have you join us. What's your name, please, and where are you calling from?
My name is Joseph.
Joseph, good.
I think Rotimi Sakura is one of the best journalists in Africa. So I thank you for the good job you guys are doing. And the problem we'll be having in this country, the National Assembly is our problem. But a lot of people focus on presidency. These people, the money they are collecting, humongous amount of the money. If it is not this Ezeh Husani, the former senator, that the amount of the money that the senator are collecting, nobody even tell us the exact amount of the money these people have been collecting. You see, okay, if the senator are collecting for
Oh, sorry about that. Lost connection with you, Joseph.
The senators are collecting $14 million a month.
It's way higher than that.
we can complete the sentence for him. Paper allowance is $1.2 million a month. Oh, how dear. Many newspapers are they buying?
I don't understand. Everyone is online.
Come Hello? On. A million
Hello?
For newspapers.
It's very good to you.
Great to have you join us.
Mr. Ruti, Ms. Ankaru, good evening to you.
Hello.
Yeah. Are you there?
Yes, we are here.
I want two questions to Mr. Ruti.
Go
Number
ahead.
One, can he tell us the exact amount the representative and the senator collect per month? Please let me know. Mm. That's number one. Number two, I fought the 1979 constitution. Because it's from then they adopt this type of democracy, that presidential system of government. And it's from that constitution they derive this, when you are defeat the constitution,
right,
it must go to all states.
Mm.
Don't they know the state governor today in Nigeria, the emperor, where this matter of look to state, they will make every power they have to make sure the state assembly not to accept this government separation. Can it possible, Mr. Sankaro, please enlighten me. Prince Wire speaking from Amuodo.
It's amazing how Prince Wise, a lot of people on WhatsApp says Prince Wise calls Rotimi Sankaro. It's a unique way. Let's take this call. Hello and good evening.
Good evening.
Great to have you join us. Your name, please, and where you're calling from.
18 from Satellite Town.
All right, 18, please go ahead.
Yes, you are guest, I'm correct. Those who voted against the state to generate and distribute power, they should be named. Then, out of four senators, three senators from River State voted against the autonomy for the local government, which they added according to the instruction of Wike. And this also strike, it was Wike that was the Minister of Education in 2009, when federal government asked to reach agreement. They failed to fulfill that agreement. I want answered movement. And this civil society that protested against the delay of barristering the letter B in Tolon to move their protest to the local government, to the governors. Because these governors, they are talking about that the reason why Nigeria is in this condition that we are facing now. Local government, they are even the training ground to train the leaders. You cannot imagine a national leader or a state leader without being the grass of the politician. So the governors, they are the rubber stamp. The House of Assembly are the rubber stamp to the governors. Even electronic transmission of results, it should be the state, the local government election should adopt the electronic transmission of results.
Right.
So that any party can win, whether you are in control or not.
All right. Thank you
very much.
Thank you very much, Etim. And Etim be your last caller here. So, Rotimi, we have just about a minute and a half to go. And there's so many messages on WhatsApp here, I don't know what to do about
Go to WhatsApp and...
Let's go to WhatsApp and take a couple of messages. The Constitution should have first been amended based on the economy, reduce the number of representatives in both the red and green chambers of the legislature. A larger proportion of the budget is spent on few individuals while the economy suffers. Sorry, I don't have your name. Wafa says, on the issue of child marriage, if the women of the affected areas are concerned about this norm, I think they should have been protesting against it, because by this child marriage matter, I'm being conclude that it's done with consent of the child's parent.
You know, it happens in Lagos.
Absolutely.
Look, even if it is in places like Lagos where the prevalence is less than 20%, it still has a huge impact. Now, apart from the first child marriage issue, which just negates people, it negates them from existence completely, there are the other burdens of everyday life imposed on women by underdevelopment, which I talked about. Cooking, washing, slaving, all these things, all these people that want to japa to Canada, when they get there, they see those things don't happen. And by the way, the Nigerian economy cannot industrialize if women cannot be part of the process.
Right. So, Rotimi, we have to go. We are out of time. But
Prince YS question. Okay, look, Prince YS, I know we talked about this one other time, and somebody did follow up. I will put it on Twitter. Just follow at Rotimi Sankore, and I will give the breakdown of the senatorial thing with links to what the allowances are.
Right.
Like
right.
I said, the newspaper allowance is over 1 million. They claim it's not going to their back pocket. And I ask, who is reading 1 million worth of newspaper a month?
Right. All right. So we'll have to leave it at that. So
can we say next
much,
week,
everyone.
Women's Week, next Friday, 4 p.m.
Brilliant.
99.3, big edition.
Great. So we take all those questions and comments then. Up next, we have the news, and after the news, we have Music and Moments with Sammy and Ifeanyi. Please stay with us on 99.3 Nigeria Info.